So, today we are looking at something that honestly, it feels a bit like finding a quiet, a soundproofed room in the middle of a crowded, thumping nightclub. You know that feeling?
That's a surprisingly accurate description.
Yeah,
It's a sudden drop in decibels.
exactly. Usually, when we dig into a manifesto or a brand philosophy, especially anything with the words fit or fashion in the title, we are, bracing ourselves for a very specific type of energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the drill, it's usually high octane, just do it, buy this now, transform your life in 30 days, look at these abs, sleep when you're dead.
Right. It's usually about optimization or urgency. I mean, it's designed to spike your cortisol just enough to get you to open your wallet.
Precisely. But the document we have today, it's basically the anti-hype. It's titled The Fit Fashion Manifesto. And we're specifically deep diving into a chapter called Who This Is and Is Not For. And I have to warn everyone, if you go into this expecting a workout plan or a guide on how to style a trench coat or a list of must-haves for the season, you're going to be very, very confused.
You are. You're going to be looking for a map, and instead, you've been handed a compass. This is a philosophical text. It's a treatise on intention and alignment.
Yeah.
And what makes it so fascinating to analyze is that it completely rejects the standard operating procedure of the modern wellness industry. It's not trying to yell over the noise, it's just whispering.
Intention and alignment. Okay, I want to get to those definitions in a moment because they are doing a lot of heavy lifting in this text. But honestly, the very first thing that jumped out at me wasn't even a specific rule, it was the pacing.
The pacing, yes.
The opening line of the source material literally says, before we go any further, it's important to pause.
It's important to
Like
pause.
right out of the gate, it's telling you to stop. It's putting up a stop sign before you've even started the engine.
Which is incredibly rare in our current media landscape. I mean, think about the attention economy we live in. Everything is designed to hook you in the first 3 seconds. The editing is fast, the music is loud, the call to action is immediate. It's designed to create anxiety FOMO, so you click buy or subscribe before you have time to think. If you pause, you might close the tab
Right.
so they don't let you
It's
pause.
the act now culture, the countdown clock in the corner of the screen.
Precisely. And this text does the opposite. It says not to decide anything, but to release any pressure to decide.
That part actually made me physically exhale when I read it. Release any pressure to decide. It feels, well, it, radical, too strong a word. Because it felt radical to me.
No, I think radical is the perfect word for it. We live in a world that rewards constant participation. You have to have an opinion, you have to share your progress, you have to be
You
visible.
have to.
If you aren't participating, you're invisible. So for a text to come along and say, actually, you don't need to do any of that right now, it creates this immediate tension. It's uncomfortable because we aren't used to it, but it's also deeply relieving.
It's that uncomfortable but relieving sensation that really hooks you. It's like, wait, I'm allowed to just sit here. I don't have to optimize this moment.
Right.
So the mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We need to unpack who this is actually for because the manifesto is very specific about that psychological profile. It's not just women who work out
No.
or women who like clothes. It's way more nuanced than demographics.
It is because this text draws a hard line in the sand. It's defining a specific way of being in the world that explicitly rejects the noise of modern marketing. It's saying, this isn't for everyone, and we're okay with that. In
Yeah.
fact, we prefer it.
So let's get into the core philosophy.
Yeah.
There's this phrase that acts as the anchor for the whole piece, intention over attention.
Yes. That is the central distinction. Everything else in the manifesto just flows from that one choice.
I feel like we could do a whole segment just on those three words, intention over attention. Because usually in the fitness and fashion worlds, attention is the currency.
It is the currency.
You get fit to be seen, you dress up to get compliments or likes. It's transactional.
It is transactional and it's deeply external. When you prioritize attention, the value of what you're doing depends entirely on the audience. If you run a marathon and don't get enough likes on the photo, was it worth it? If you wear a great outfit and nobody comments on it, did you actually look good? That's the attention trap. You are outsourcing your self-worth to strangers.
Right. It's like if a tree falls in the forest and nobody posted on Instagram, did it make a sound? But this source is saying, no, this is for women who aren't interested in proving discipline, strength, or worth to an audience.
Exactly. It decouples the activity from the visibility. In modern culture, we've conflated doing the work with showing the work. We treat our lives as content.
Yes.
This manifesto is speaking to people who find that constant performance exhausting. It's for people who want the value of the action, the intention, without needing the validation of the audience, the attention.
It's also reclaiming your own life from the gallery. You know, stopping the performance and just living the scene.
Yeah.
And that leads to this other concept that I found really striking.
Mm-hmm.
The text describes the body in a way I haven't seen before in a lifestyle document. It calls the body something entrusted.
That's a beautiful choice of words, isn't it? Entrusted. It implies a responsibility, almost a stewardship. It's not a possession you own to exploit. It's a vessel you are taking care of.
It does. And then it breaks it down into three parts. It says the body is not something to hide and not something to market, but something to inhabit.
That triad is fascinating. Not to hide, not to market, but to inhabit. Let's break that down because it covers the entire spectrum of how women, and honestly everyone, are usually told to view themselves.
Okay, let's start with not to hide.
Not to hide addresses shame. A lot of marketing is built on problems. Hide your flaws, fix your problem areas, slimming, concealing.
Yeah.
It's a negative motivation. It teaches you that your baseline state is wrong and needs to be covered up.
And then not to market, which is the flip side.
That's the other side of the coin. Objectification, show off your gains, look hot. Brand yourself. That's treating your body as an asset to be leveraged for social capital. It's the booty pic culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's using your physicality to sell an idea of success.
So it's either cover this up because it's bad or look at how great I look so you'll admire me. Both seem exhausting.
Precisely. Both of those are external views. They are about how the body is perceived by others. Mm-hmm. You are looking at yourself through someone else's eyes. But this third path to inhabit, that is entirely internal.
Right.
It shifts the perspective from the outside looking in to the inside looking out. It's about how it feels to live inside your own skin, thoughtfully and privately.
Thoughtfully and privately. That privacy aspect is huge.
Yeah.
It feels like we've lost the right to privacy in our wellness journeys. Everything has to be a journey that we share with a hashtag. If you aren't sharing the struggle, are you even trying?
And that sharing often changes the nature of the experience. It's the observer effect, right? When you know you're being watched, you behave differently.
Okay.
When you inhabit your body, you aren't treating it as a project to be completed or a billboard to be displayed. You're treating it as the vessel for your life. That's where the entrusted part comes in. You are the steward of this body, not the PR manager for it.
Not the PR manager for it. I love that distinction. I'm going to write that down. It really changes the vibe of what fitness or style could mean.
It does.
If I'm not the PR manager, then I don't need to worry about the lighting or the caption or the optimal posting time. I just need to worry about the structural integrity of the house I'm living in.
Exactly. It's the difference between staging a house for sale, where everything looks perfect but nobody can actually touch anything, and living in a home where the furniture is comfortable and the kitchen is used.
Mm, yeah.
One is for the buyer, the other is for the resident. This manifesto is for the resident.
Which brings us to the specific qualities this manifesto attributes to this fit fashion woman.
Mm-hmm.
If she's the resident and not the PR manager, she operates very differently from the norm.
Right.
She's not checking her analytics.
She certainly isn't. The text paints a picture of someone who is fundamentally countercultural, but in a very quiet way. She's not protesting in the streets about it. She's just quietly opting out of the madness.
Yeah, let's talk about that quietness. One of the first qualities mentioned is stillness. The text says not everything meaningful needs to be loud, and then it follows up with this killer line. Some things are allowed to exist without commentary.
That line, allowed to exist without commentary, is so subversive in the late 2020s. Think about our digital lives. Every photo has a caption. Every news story has a comment section. Every life event has a status update.
Right.
We act as if things aren't real until we've commented on them.
Or until someone else has commented on them. Like, we need that stamp of approval. Oh, people reacted to this with a heart emoji, therefore it mattered.
Mm. Right. It's a validation loop. But this text suggests that silence isn't an absence of meaning. It's a container for it. The woman described here is drawn to stillness because she understands that constant noise dilutes the experience.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to narrate her life to make it valid.
That's a heavy concept.
Yeah.
The idea that narrating your life might actually be making it less meaningful, not more. Like, by packaging it for others, you're losing a bit of the essence of it.
It dissipates the energy.
Yeah.
If you have a profound realization during a run or a quiet moment while getting dressed where you feel really good and your immediate instinct is, how do I tweet this?
Let me take a selfie.
You've pulled yourself out of the experience and into the performance of the experience. You've left the room to go talk to the audience. You've stopped inhabiting and started marketing.
And speaking of that patience, the text also mentions that she is curious, not rushed. That she's willing to sit with a question instead of forcing an answer. That feels like a direct pushback against the hack culture.
Oh, completely.
You know, 5 simple hacks to fix your life by Tuesday.
Curious, not rushed, implies depth. It implies that this is a long-term process.
Mm.
If you are rushing to an answer, you're usually looking for a quick fix or a way to alleviate anxiety. You're uncomfortable with the uncertainty.
Yeah. We hate uncertainty.
Yeah.
We want the protocol. Just tell me what to eat and what to wear to be happy.
Exactly. But if you are willing to sit with a question like, why do I feel the need to buy this? Or does this movement actually feel good? That shows a level of maturity and patience. It suggests that this fit fashion concept isn't a product you buy to solve a problem instantly.
Right.
It's a philosophy you adopt over time. It's allowing the answer to emerge from your own life rather than buying a generic answer off the shelf.
It's funny because usually when a brand talks about confidence, it's framed as a transaction. Buy this lipstick and you will become confident. Wear these leggings and you will feel powerful.
Yes.
But this manifesto flips it. It says this is for women who are already confident.
Yes, that's a crucial distinction. It creates a paradox. If they are already confident, why do they need this? The text answers that. They don't need affirmation. They care about alignment.
Can we dig into that? Alignment versus affirmation.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people confuse the two.
It's easy to confuse them because they both feel good initially. Affirmation is external. It's someone telling you, good job, you look great. It's a dopamine hit. It's fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
You need another hit tomorrow. It's like sugar.
It's an addiction. You need more likes to feel the same level of okayness.
It is. Alignment is entirely different. Alignment is internal. It's the feeling of things clicking into place because they match who you truly are. It's the click of a lock, not the applause of a crowd. The text says they are less interested in how something looks online and more interested in how it feels to live with.
That is such a practical rubric.
Yeah.
How does it feel to live with?
A confident person doesn't need the product to give them worth. They want the product or the practice to align with the worth they already know they have. It's supporting the structure, not building the facade.
That makes so much sense. It's the difference between wearing an outfit because it's trendy and will get likes versus wearing it because when you put it on, you forget you're wearing it. You just feel like yourself.
Exactly. It ceases to be a costume and just becomes you.
And that leads us to the anti-persona section of the outline. Because if this is for the woman who values alignment and privacy, there's a whole list of things. And people. This is explicitly not for.
And this is where the text gets bold. This is where they burn the bridges with the mainstream.
The list of knots is intense.
Oh.
And I respect it. The text says, fit fashion is not meant to appeal to everyone. And that's intentional. It's not trying to cast a wide net.
No. And it frames that exclusion as a form of respect. Clarity is an exclusion. It's respect.
Mm-hmm.
By being upfront about who this is not for, they aren't wasting anyone's time. If you were looking for a quick fix or a viral moment, they are telling you right now. Look elsewhere.
Yeah.
Go find a brand that promises that because we won't.
So let's list the things it rejects. It says it's not for instant validation, not for chasing trends, not for comparison, and my personal favorite, the one that really stopped me, not for producing evidence of worth.
That phrase, producing evidence of worth, is haunting. It's almost forensic.
It really stuck with me. It felt like I was being called out.
Think about how much of our modern behavior is just that. Trying to create a paper trail or a digital trail that proves we matter. Look, I went to the gym. I am disciplined.
Yes.
Look, I bought this expensive thing. I am successful. Look, I'm eating kale. I am virtuous.
That's like we're building a court case for our own existence. Here is Exhibit A, my morning smoothie. Please accept this as evidence that I have my life together.
Precisely. We are constantly pleading our case to the jury of the internet. And the manifesto bluntly states, it doesn't translate well to scrolling culture, and it doesn't need to.
That's a bold admission for any entity in the 21st century. Usually brands are desperate to translate to scrolling culture. They want to be viral. This is basically saying our algorithm is broken on purpose.
It's an admission that the philosophy is incompatible with the mechanisms of social media. Social media feeds on comparison and performative wellness.
Right.
This philosophy feeds on privacy and internal alignment. You can't really have both. If you are focused on how an image performs, you aren't focused on inhabiting your body. You're back to being the PR manager.
Yeah.
You can't be the resident and the paparazzi at the same time.
It says not every image needs to perform. It's removing the performative aspect of wellness entirely. It's like existence over performance.
And that is a huge relief for anyone who feels that pressure. It's saying you can just be, you don't have to put on a show. You can work out because it feels good to move, not because you need to post the stats.
Right.
You can dress up because you enjoy the fabric, not because you need to be tagged in a photo.
So we've established who it's for, the curious, the private, the aligned, and who it's not for, the trend chasers, the performers, the evidence producers. Now let's talk about the invitation, because the way they close this argument is really interesting. It's not a hard sell. It doesn't end with, so buy our subscription now.
No, it's very gentle, which again is anti-marketing. The text says fit fashion isn't meant to persuade, it's meant to align.
Not meant to persuade. That is terrible marketing advice, traditionally speaking. The whole point of copy is to persuade, overcome objections, close the deal.
If you're trying to hit quarterly targets, sure. But if you're trying to build a genuine connection, it's powerful. It invites the reader to simply notice. It says, this work isn't asking you to decide anything right now. It's simply offering clarity.
It lowers the stakes completely. It says, an invitation to notice whether this way of seeing and being seen feels like something you'd want to step into. It's not join us or die.
Right.
It's does this fit? Try it on.
And there's a line about honesty that really ties this together. This work doesn't require certainty, only honesty.
Yeah, that's good. Because certainty is hard. I rarely feel 100% certain about anything. Am I certain about my career, my style, my lunch choice? Usually no.
Certainty is a high bar. It requires you to predict the future. I am certain this diet will work. I am certain this style is me forever. That's pressure. That's paralysis.
But honesty. I could do honesty. I could look at something and honestly say, I want that, or I don't want that, or this makes me feel gross, or this makes me feel calm.
Exactly. It lowers the barrier to entry. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be honest with yourself about what you're looking for. And then there's the final kicker about what happens if you decide this isn't for you.
Yes. If it doesn't resonate, that's not a failure. That's discernment.
That is such a healthy reframing. Usually, marketing tries to make you feel like if the product isn't for you, it's because you aren't cool enough or rich enough or fit enough. You're the failure.
Yeah.
The brand is the aspirational ideal and you failed to meet it.
You just don't get it, or you aren't dedicated enough.
Right. But this text flips it. It says, if you walk away, that is a successful act of discernment. You looked, you evaluated, you realized it wasn't a match. That is a win. That is you knowing yourself. It's empowering. It treats the reader like an adult with agency, not a consumer to be manipulated. You'll know. That's what it says. If it resonates, you'll know.
And that ties back to the very beginning, the pause.
Yeah.
You can only know if you resonate with something, if you actually slow down enough to listen to your own reaction. If you're rushed, you just react to the hype. If you pause, you can feel the alignment or the lack of it.
It all comes full circle. The pause allows for the honesty, which leads to the alignment. It's a really coherent philosophy, even if it is a bit mysterious about what the actual fashion part is. We haven't talked about clothes much.
True, but I think that's the point. The fashion or the fitness is secondary to the mindset. If you get the mindset right, the intention, the privacy, the alignment, the clothes and the workouts will follow naturally. They will be expressions of who you are, not costumes you put on to impress strangers.
So as we wrap this up, what does this all mean for us? For the listener who maybe isn't buying into this specific manifesto, maybe they love their live gym sessions.
And their Instagram feed. But they are still intrigued by the ideas.
I think the big takeaway is about permission. This text gives you permission to opt out of the race. It gives you permission to keep things for yourself. In a world that demands we share everything, keeping your wellness journey private, viewing your body as something to inhabit rather than market, that is a powerful act of rebellion.
It really is. It's reclaiming the self. It's shutting the door and saying, this room is for me.
And remembering that alignment never needs to be rushed. That's the closing line. If you feel pressure, if you feel that panic of, I need to do this now, it's probably not alignment. Alignment feels like settling into place, not running to catch up.
Alignment feels like settling into place, not running to catch up.
That is a great way to put it. I'm going to try to remember that the next time I'm doom scrolling and feeling behind on life. So here is where we leave you today. We want you to try something, a little thought experiment based on what we've discussed. Think about your current routines, your workouts, your wardrobe, your social media habits.
Take one thing you do regularly. Right. Now imagine stripping away the audience. Imagine you could never post about any of it again. No likes, no comments, no evidence of worth. Imagine nobody would ever know you did it except you.
If nobody was watching, would you still make the same choices? Would you still run that far? Would you still buy that jacket?
That's the question. If you stripped away the need to market your life, would your current life still align with who you are?
It's a scary question. You might find some things you're doing just for the applause, but sitting with that question, that's where the real work begins.
Don't force an answer. Just sit with it. Take that pause. Thanks for diving in with us.
See you next time.